temperatures of 20 degrees.
Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 39 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Arlo Barnett.
I think most people would realize that Cave Run Lake, the forest, the Shelter We Trace, National Recreation Trail are all real draws to our community.
Moorhead Councilwoman Carolyn Franzini says a new agreement on goals and objectives for her city and Lakeview Heights will help promote the whole area.
The remains of an elderly man have been found in Greenup County.
And the Rupp Arena project is apparently going nowhere in the state legislature.
In sports, the Reds are set to play 2 against Pittsburgh tonight.
But Luke has the stocks.
We'll have record lows near 20 degrees tonight. The complete forecast is coming up. But first, this news.
Authorities in Greenup County have found the remains of a 75-year-old South Shore man who has been missing since September. Gerald Boyles was discovered in a creek near U.S. 23, about a mile from his home. Tim Boyles is the victim's son. He says his father suffered from Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease. He spoke with WSAZ.
I was hoping to find him alive and everything, and help take care of him. It kind of hurt me at first, but I was kind of glad that they found him because I know he's in a better place now and he don't have to suffer anymore.
Coroner Neil Wright tells the Huntington Station there were no signs of foul play.
The Maysville Ledger Independent is reporting that 2 Garrison men have been indicted on reckless homicide charges in connection with an October traffic fatality in Lewis County. The indictments were returned against 26-year-old Brian Clark and 36-year-old John Glispie in the death of Heather Stone of Trace Creek. Both men are held in the Lewis County Detention Center in Vanceburg. Police say the victim was hit by a passing car along State Route 1306. Her body was found in the middle of the road.
A federal appeals court has upheld the convictions of 2 brothers accused of running a multi-state oil drilling scam that bilked millions of dollars from unwitting investors. The Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals today concluded that prosecutors presented enough evidence to back their contention that 53-year-old Christopher Smith of Prestonsburg and 58-year-old Michael Smith of Cookeville, Tennessee, defrauded thousands of investors. The Smiths ran a company called Target Oil and Gas. Prosecutors say the firm asked investors to fund drilling projects in Kentucky, Texas, West Virginia, and Tennessee, but used fraudulent marketing materials and false geological surveys to persuade them. Christopher Smith is serving a 5-year sentence in federal prison. Michael Smith is serving a 10-year sentence.
Kingdom Come State Park in Harlan and Letcher counties reopened today after firefighters were able to contain a wildfire that began last week. Forest Ranger Lim Johnson tells WIMT precipitation over the past 2 days has aided in those efforts.
We've had a lot of relief with the weather. We've got a lot of cloud cover and a little bit of precipitation and kind of calmed the flames down a little bit.
The park was closed on Sunday after the fire had burned about 500 acres. About of those, 200 acres were inside the park.
The latest snowfall in Kentucky has local governments sizing up the cost of what seems to have been a relatively harsh winter in the Commonwealth. Many cities and counties exhausted their salt supplies, authorized overtime for snow removal, and experienced significant damage to infrastructure. Moorhead Mayor David Perkins says not all of the bills have come due yet. He says water main ruptures were an ongoing problem for repair crews from the city's utility plant board.
Those guys were out constantly fixing broken water mains. You know, I think one day they had 3 or 4, and, you know, we're talking about 0-degree weather, which is just miserable to try to work in. The full cost of that has not been realized yet because all the places in the streets that have been cut up have to be repaired.
Perkins says ice and snow have also taken their toll on sidewalks across the community. He says it'll be a while before all the expenses are tallied.
Moorhead, Lakeview Heights, and Rowan County are all working together on a new comprehensive plan. Morehead Councilwoman Carolyn Franzini says the plan is multifaceted, including steps to bring visitors to the area using natural attractions such as Daniel Boone National Forest and Cave Run Lake.
Everything from housing, farm to table, stormwater management, economic development, regional attractors, as well as the natural beauty of our area, which is also a regional attractor. But those are the major goals with sub-goals beneath each one. And like I said, I think the groups of people that have worked very hard on this are to be commended.
All of Morehead's council members are excited by the plan, believing it will help nurture a vibrant economy over the next few years.
Rowan County is in the process of earning its certification as a work-ready community. Work-ready community status certifies an area as having an educated and trained workforce. According to City Councilman Glenn Teeger, this includes special testing in the Rowan County schools.
That sounds very simple, but there's a lot of players involved to get that to really happen. The school standpoint, we change some classes, some career tracks, and then we offer those tests. You also have to have involvement with the businesses here that see the importance of that and make agreements to give priority to students or to applicants for jobs that have gotten this work-ready certifications.
According to the website, workready.ky.gov, there are only 8 work-ready communities in Kentucky.
The conversion of methane gas from a Scott County landfill to electricity will enable the Toyota plant in Georgetown to produce thousands of additional vehicles every year. That's according to an assistant manager at the Kentucky facility. Rick Hesterberg says Toyota will use a generator to convert the gas to electricity and then pipe it to the factory.
It's going to create 1 megawatt of electricity for us, which will equate to about 10,000 vehicles annually. So that doesn't sound like a lot for a plant that builds over 500,000 vehicles annually, but there's plenty of growth in this project.
Hesterberg says that means the potential to generate even more electricity from methane will be possible in the future. He says lower production costs mean better prices for consumers.
It looks more unlikely Kentucky legislators will reach agreement on state funding for the Rupp Arena project. The governor initially suggested borrowing $65 million to go toward construction of the new Rupp facility. The Senate deleted that funding. If not passed, House Speaker Greg Stumbo doesn't believe it's an issue which is deserving of a special session.
I would not believe that that project in and of itself, barring something that we don't know, would necessitate a special session. We've put some money in the budget to allow them to continue the design work and moving forward on the project.
Governor Beshear indicated Monday a revised financing plan for Rupp did not call for a local hotel-motel tax increase in Lexington. He said the latest proposal did increase state borrowing from $65 to $80 million for the downtown project.
U.S. Transportation Secretary Anthony Fox was in Louisville today to talk about the importance of infrastructure and the Ohio River Bridges project. Fox says initiatives like the bridges would not be possible without support from the Federal Highway Trust Fund. He says that fund is depleting rapidly.
As early as August of this year, the fund that pays us for building roads and repairing this country's highways will essentially run dry.
Fox is urging Kentuckians to ask Congress to approve a $302 billion transportation bill. The secretary is traveling around the country as part of his Invest in America, Commit to the Future tour.
State lawmakers say they are close to an agreement on how to spend $1.2 billion in state money on road construction. Democratic House Speaker Greg Stumbo told reporters today that House and Senate negotiators have reached a deal, while Republican Senate Transportation Chairman Ernie Harris said lawmakers were close to an agreement. Harris said it was premature to say lawmakers have reached a deal. It's unclear how much the total construction plan, which includes federal and state dollars, would cost. Lawmakers have until midnight to reach an agreement. If they don't, Stumbo says the governor will likely call legislators back to Frankfurt for a special session.
Danville's city manager says unresolved legal questions forced the city's proposed fairness ordinance to be tabled Monday night. Ron Scott says the measure, which would make it illegal for businesses to discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity, has sparked some intense debate.
The city commission has heard and the city staff has heard from a variety of folks on both sides of the issue, those in favor of and those against, and those include church groups as well as businesses in terms of some expressing opposition to and some expressing support for.
Scott says the poll conducted by Center College revealed support for the fairness ordinance among Danville residents stood in the upper 70% range. Six other Kentucky cities have implemented similar measures. A workshop has been scheduled for April 28th, so the city attorney can review the outstanding legal questions revolving around how the ordinance would comply with the state's civil rights laws.
And finally, this afternoon, $2.5 million in federal funds are coming to 9 post-secondary institutions in Kentucky and West Virginia to increase minority representation in science, technology, engineering, and math fields. University of Kentucky President Eli Capiluto will lead the Kentucky West Virginia Lewis Stokes Alliance for Minority Participation. Lexington Senator Reggie Thomas says this emphasis is well-founded.
This is an area where every demographic study or every educational longitudinal study that's out there shows that this is where the jobs are, and this is where our economy must go if we're going to be competitive in the 21st century.
The 5-year initiative is aimed at increasing minority enrollment and graduation rates in the STEM areas of study. Officials say the National Science Foundation support potentially could impact 5,000 undergraduates in the 2 Appalachian states.
And now your weather for tonight for the listening area. We'll have mostly cloudy skies in the evening, then clearing. We'll have widespread frost late. It'll be much colder with record lows in the lower 20s. There is a freeze warning in effect from 8 p.m. this evening to 10 a.m. tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll see patchy frost in the morning, otherwise mostly sunny and warmer with highs around 58 degrees. Tomorrow night, cold, mostly clear, areas of frost late, lows around 28 in the valleys and 35 on the ridges. Thursday, it'll be mostly sunny with highs around 65 degrees. Thursday night, partly cloudy, lows around 40. Friday, it'll be partly cloudy with a 20% chance of showers, highs in the upper 60s. Friday night, partly cloudy with lows in the mid-40s. Saturday, it'll be mostly sunny, highs in the lower 60s. And Saturday night through Sunday will be partly cloudy, lows in the lower 40s with highs around 68. It's currently 38 degrees in Ashland, 38 as well right now in Flemingsburg, 36 in Inez, 41 in Lexington, 39 in Winchester, and 39 here in Moorhead.
It is 4:43. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It is good to have you along on this Tuesday afternoon. On our feature segment, a quartet made up of students from Moorhead State University is bringing Southern gospel music to area churches. MSPR's Shelby Steele has that story.
The Damascus Road Quartet started back in 2012 with 4 MSU students who shared a love for Southern gospel music. The group was founded by Ryan Biederman, Jesse Klein, Austin Wells, and Josh Joseph. Since the group's formation, though, there have been some personnel changes, and Damascus Road now consists of Biederman, Joseph, Ben Cole, and Zach Day. The quartet started by performing on the main campus of Moorhead State University. Biederman says their first live gig was an exciting one.
With the original group, I think our actual first performance ever was we tried out for Moorhead Idol here on campus, and we ended up winning the thing, and we were just tickled to death. We auditioned the next year for the same competition and won it again, and we were just as thrilled the next year.
Biederman adds that things have taken off from there and that his long-range hope is that the group continues to grow and worship together.
As far as personal goals for the group, where I would like it to go, I would like to buy a bus and do this all the time and do a lot of dates every year and be home on the weekends. I've wanted to do this since I was 10 years old. But as far as the other guys, I don't know what their aspirations are, but for right now, we're sticking to school, we're getting our degrees and doing this and enjoying this while we have it.
Damascus Road has plans to be very busy over the coming months.
We do plan to do it this summer. We did not do it last summer, but we have grown a little more. We have a larger area to cover as people figure out more about us. So we want to get to as many people as we can.
While the Damascus Road Quartet enjoys singing in front of audiences, Biederman says there are other aspects of performing that really make that experience worthwhile.
We sang a song. It was a Gold City song called Midnight Cry, and it's a very powerful song. It's got a lot of emotion behind it. And when we sang that, there was a woman that she just wailed, "Lord Jesus, I'm ready to go right now." And the church started, you know, they went off that, and everybody just got really, really excited about what we were singing about.
Biederman says the quartet enjoys spreading God's word to others, and he loves the response they receive from their audiences.
People seem to be just filled with God's joy, and when you're on stage and looking at all the people who you're singing to and they're affected by your music and they're benefiting spiritually from it, I couldn't ask for anything more in my life than to see that.
If you would like to book Damascus Road Quartet for a concert at your church, you can call them at 606-585-4787. Also, don't forget to like their page on Facebook, where they upload videos weekly at facebook.com/Damascus Road 2013. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Shelby Steele.
It is 4:47. You are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR comes your way at 5 o'clock this afternoon. And Chase has sports right after we take this time out.
Support for MSPR comes from Eat Gallery in historic downtown Maysville. Eat Gallery features original and unique gifts, including local artwork, fine jewelry, gemstones, sculptures, and natural art from around the world. Eat Gallery offers heirlooms, including earrings, bracelets, necklaces, and original artwork by Rob Weingartner and Fred Weisner. Open Tuesdays through Fridays, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturdays, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eat Gallery in Maysville is online at eatgallery.com.
It's a double dip tonight for the Redlegs. Good afternoon. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Chase Scott. The Cincinnati Reds will head back to the Diamond this evening with hopes of earning two victories over the Pittsburgh Pirates. After last night's game was suspended at the top of the seventh inning due to weather conditions, the two ball clubs will resume play today, just shortly at 5:15. Reds manager Brian Price believes the officials tried last night to get the whole game in.
We talked about it quite a bit between innings, and they just felt like it was a game that was playable and that there shouldn't be any advantages to either club, and they held true to that.
The game was tied at 7 when it was suspended. In the first six innings, the teams combined for 8 home runs. At the conclusion of the suspended game, the Reds and Pirates will play their already scheduled contest at 7:10 p.m. Looking at the MLB schedule for tonight, the Orioles will host the Rays, the Rangers and Mariners meet in Texas, the Braves play the Phillies in Philadelphia, the Marlins host the Nationals, the Brewers look to stay hot as they welcome in the Cardinals, the A's are on the road at the Angels, and the Dodgers and Giants play in San Francisco. A baseball executive says the use of instant replay is working. AP correspondent Jack Briggs has more.
Bob Bowman, the chief executive officer of MLB Advanced Media, has told a discussion panel that the use of instant replay is working. He said that through Monday, calls by umpires on the field have been confirmed in 33 of 89 challenges and overturned in 30. For 25 others, calls stood because of a lack of clear and convincing evidence. Bowman says that technology takes a while to work and that the system is still being worked on. He added that instant replay knows it has arrived because, quote, ESPN is already criticizing us and it must be great to be perfect the way ESPN is. This is Jack Briggs.
After throttling Rome last night 17-0, the Lexington Legends are back in action on the road again tonight. for Game 2 against the Braves. The Legends will put their 7-5 record on the line as they will have a Kentucky native on the mound in Andrew Edwards. Edwards is 1-0 with a 1.0 ERA on the season. The Braves will counter with Chuck Charles Buchanan, who is also 1-0 on the year. First pitch is scheduled for 7 p.m. The Moorhead State baseball team was scheduled to play today against Shawnee State at 3 o'clock, but due to the weather, that game has been delayed until tomorrow for a 4:30 evening game. The Eagles will look to continue their winning ways, as last year, after 35 games, the Eagles had just 9 wins. This year, it's at 17. Some breaking news out of college basketball this evening. Tennessee coach Quanzo Martin has been hired as the new head coach of the California Bears, as he will replace former coach Mike Montgomery. Martin has spent the past 3 seasons in Knoxville and led the Volunteers to the NCAA tournament run this past season. ESPN's Jeff Goodman breaks down why he thinks Martin decided to leave.
He got a little bit of heat 2 years in going into this NCAA tournament. You know, there was some heat and some pressure, and a lot of the fan base was calling to bring back Bruce Pearl. He knew Tennessee was not going to be great next year, and Conzo also interviewed at Marquette, did not get that one, and I think that might have played a factor into this as well.
Martin had just got his first recruiting commit to UT this morning as a 7-1 center from England, made that commitment this morning, but has already decommitted and recommitted to Cal all in the same hour. The Big Blue Nation received a bit of exciting news yesterday, as several sources have confirmed standout forward Willie Cauley-Stein will return to Kentucky for his junior season. The news came shortly after the 7-foot rising junior tweeted he was coming back to Kentucky and in no rush to leave the best fans in the USA. Cauley-Stein says he feels like there is work left to be done.
To me, there's still emptiness to fill. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I feel, you know, this emptiness in me, like, I still got something to prove, and I still got so much, you know, stuff to work on my game. And, I went up from last year. Now, you know, I want to take another step. I want to make another jump in my game.
Cauley-Stein is one of as many 7 players that have been speculated to declare for the NBA draft. Other members of the Big Blues Final 14 this year are expected to make a decision about entering the NBA draft in the near future. The Louisville Cardinals have announced rising senior Wayne Blackshear will serve as one of the team's co-captains next season. The 6'5" forward is looking ahead to next season, and he's humbled that coach Rick Pitino looks to him as a leader. Now Blackshear says he just has to perform.
It's great. You know, it shows a lot that coach, you know, trusts me enough to name me a captain of the team. All this is on me. You know, I gotta become a part of the gym, and I think I realize that now. And, you know, I know I got to put forth the effort every day, night in and night out.
He adds the news of Montrezl Harrell returning to U of L next season adds to the excitement for the upcoming year. With all the playoffs already set, the NBA has only 2 highlight games tonight. The Brooklyn Nets will host the New York Knicks, and the Clippers will welcome in the Denver Nuggets. As preparation for the spring football game continues, head coach Rob Tenier still has one position on the team he wants to focus on. With only one upperclassman returning to the roster next year at the linebacker position, Tenier thinks they can turn the tide there with some key recruiting.
We continue to try to stock the cupboard a little bit and get some guys into the program, whether they're first-year impact players or they're maybe second- or third-year players. We are able to address some of those needs by getting some in-state players that we feel are really good football players. So that was the emphasis. Number one emphasis for defense was linebackers, and we feel really good about that position.
The Moorhead State football team will play their spring game at Jane Stadium on Saturday, starting at 5:15. And finally, as spring practice continues for the Kentucky football Wildcats, the team is improving. That's according to head coach Mark Stoops. After the Cats participated in a squad scrimmage on Saturday, Stoops summed up his thoughts on the Cats' performance as positive.
Good scrimmage. We got some good work in. Definitely, really the best we played this spring for sure. Look a whole lot better. Did some good things.
While there are several position battles going on for the Cats this spring, the biggest is taking place between veteran quarterback Jalen Whitlow and highly touted freshman quarterback Drew Barker for the starting signal caller job. That's a look into the world of sports. Have a great evening. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio, I'm Chase Scott.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle football will present their 2014 spring football game on Saturday at MSU's Jane Stadium. Tailgating begins at 2 p.m., alumni game at 4 p.m., and the spring game at 5:15 p.m. More information available at the MSU Eagle ticket office or 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks turned higher as in the afternoon as investors weighed upbeat earnings from Dow Components, Coca-Cola, and Johnson & Johnson against disappointing reads on builder sentiment and New York area manufacturing, and of course, all the while tracking events in the Ukraine. And reports of pro-Russian separatists briefly taking control of an airfield in eastern Ukraine weighed on investor sentiment early on, but the mood shifted in the afternoon when investors were heartened that the worst-case scenario hasn't come to fruition. This according to a number of traders on the New York Exchange. And at the close, the Dow showing a nice gain of 89.32 at 16,262.56. The S&P 500 was up 12.37 at 1842.98. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 11.47 at 4,034.16. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 18-11 in favor of winning stocks over losers. The Dow, of course, was down at 1 point, over 100 points on an intraday basis. And among your blue chip stocks doing well today, Coca-Cola and Johnson & Johnson, both among your very best Dow stocks among the Dow 30 today. And, of course, both benefiting from good earnings reports. Gold prices were hammered today, with futures for June delivery down $23.90 or 1.8% at $1,303.30 an ounce after the World Gold Council said consumer demand for the metal could be limited this year. The dollar edged higher against other global currencies, and the 10-year Treasury yield fell 3 basis points to finish at 2.61%, and crude oil futures for May delivery fell 34 cents to finish at $103.71 a barrel. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated up 61 cents at 95.64, CSX down 9 cents at 28.29, AEP up $1.04 at 52.32, AK Steel down 9 cents at 7, Marathon Petroleum up $2 and a penny at 86.58, and Lowe's finished up 7 cents on the day at $46.35 a share. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Weather forecast for the listening area. Tonight we'll see mostly cloudy skies in the evening, then it'll clear. We'll have widespread frost late. It'll be much colder with record lows in the lower 20s. There is a freeze warning in effect from 8 p.m. this evening to 10 a.m. tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll see patchy frost in the morning, otherwise mostly sunny and warmer with highs around 58 degrees. Tomorrow night, cold, mostly clear, areas of frost late, lows around 28 in the valleys and 35 on the ridges. Thursday, it'll be mostly sunny with highs around 65 degrees. Thursday night, partly cloudy, lows around 40. Friday, it'll be partly cloudy with a 20% chance of showers and highs in the upper 60s. Friday night, partly cloudy with lows in the mid-40s. Saturday, it'll be mostly sunny with highs in the lower 60s. And Saturday night through Sunday will be partly cloudy, lows in the lower 40s and highs around 68 degrees. Currently in the region, it is 38 in Ashland, 38 as well in Flemingsburg, 36 right now in Inez, 41 in Lexington, 39 in Winchester, and 39 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
In a nutshell, it's cold. And that's it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Mike Williams, Shelby Steele, Jay Scott, Joshua Grandison, Jordan Simonson, Nathan Gutierrez, and Samantha Morrill. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Arlo Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. ATC is next. It's 5 o'clock.